Welcome to the Futile Podcast. Of course, you can check us out on iTunes by just searching Futile Podcast. You can send us an email at futilepodcast@gmail.com. You can check the show notes, the blog, www.graniteseed.com/futilepodcast. It's a good one. It's definitely a good one. Tonight, from 1988, we have Sam Elliott and Peter Weller in a little film I like to call Shakedown. Basically, the plot for Shakedown is that you've got Peter Weller as this public defender dealing with the scum of the scum.
The crack dealers.
In 1980s New York.
The sex creeps.
All about the sex creeps and the crack dealers and the craziness of pre-Giuliani.
When Ed Koch was running the show.
Pre-Giuliani New York, when Judge Ed Koch was running the show. And he's 1 week from retirement from that to marry up in the world to some little blonde ditzy chick that with daddy's money, and he's going to get a job at Wall Street.
The bad guy from The Gauntlet.
Yeah. And he's friends with Sam Elliott, who's a blue jeans cop.
No.
He wears blue jeans and he's a cop.
But he doesn't wear designer jeans.
Nope, yeah. Because
they're for girls with cute little asses and
and men with no balls. That's right. And what happens is that at the beginning, this crack dealer gets shot by a cop who's an undercover cop who does not identify himself. And that basically gets you going that he got a little too greedy. Instead of just identifying himself as a cop and saying, "Here now, pay me," you know, shaking him down for money. He messed up the whole system. And they had a good thing going. They had a lot of lucrative deals set up with, what was the guy's name?
NC.
NC, with NC, who had Nicky all the money. Cullum, Nicky.
Who paid his bills.
He paid his bills.
He took care of the Harlem Shuffle.
He took care of the cracker, that's for sure. And the little road race that they had.
I'm sure that was an honest race. You don't think
Cars are blowing up left and right in this. Things are blowing up all over the place.
Doors being kicked down. It's fucking Sam Elliott and Peter Weller kicking down doors.
Yeah, blow it. And with the sidecar. It wasn't really a sidecar. It was a trikey.
He was riding bitch.
He was riding bitch in a trikey while they were chasing after after that cyborg guy in the cop car driving through the Reaganvilles. It was fucking awesome. Basically, everything I just said actually happened. And before that, the cyborg guy shot knives out of his arms to kill two cops. And before that, he goes looking for this guy, for the snitch that he thinks might be snitching, basically, to get everybody in trouble. And he finds that the guy's getting spanked and handcuffed by some woman in a sex hotel. Because he did real good.
By Ira.
Yeah, by Ira. Ira did real good, and he had, like, real money this time. And the guy, the proprietor of the sex hotel, was, like, real proud of him.
The proprietor was Ira.
Yeah. Oh, I thought the Ira was the...
No, the proprietor was Ira.
Who was the guy with the rat?
I'm trying to remember the rat dude. Anyway. His name was.
It's irrelevant, because basically...
I don't think they referred to him
the cyborg guy shows up.
They'd, like, call him dipshit.
Yeah, he opens up the fuse box, and instead of pulling the fuse thing, he's like, "I think I'll just rip the wires out of the wall," these giant, like, electrical cables. And he puts the shock to the snitch.
He knew how to improvise.
Turns him into a crispy critter.
He wanted to save the knives.
Of course. Then he shoots the knives out of his arms of the cop. Then the Uzi comes out from his chest.
It was a...
And then he mows over a bunch of people just right there. Just innocent people on the street.
It was either a mini Uzi or a Mac 10. I can't remember now.
It was crazy is what it was.
It was.
But then he got his from Sam Elliott when Sam Elliott shot a bullet in his car and exploded. Magnum. Yeah. I think the guys at Mythbusters might take a little umbrage with that, but whatever. It's not important. It's not important in a movie like this. This movie has got, like, all sorts of political commentary and, like, social commentary. It's on the subtext about the whole... issue of being, like, upper class, like, in Wall Street versus being in the shit and, you know, the cocaine, not the cocaine, but the crack deals and all that
on
stuff.
On Wall Street, you got the coke.
And the, yeah, exactly. Big city nights, right? And, And it's just, like, so it's like there's a bit of courtroom drama in it, and it tries to sort of take itself seriously in some places, but it's also got these fantastic moments of just, like, action sequences that are crazy and ridiculous. And for that, it's like anybody that's a fan of the of good action 80s movies or 90s movies is going to probably get a kick out of
it. If you liked Roadhouse, you got to check it out.
Yeah, there's also Dalton in this, and there's Sam Elliott.
There's a different Dalton.
Yeah, Peter Weller is Dalton as an attorney instead of a cooler. Rolly. Yeah.
Roland Dalton.
And really, it's just 1988 at its finest.
88 was a good year.
It was a good year. I mean, Sam Elliott's talking about how, you know, he might just take out this perp, you know, just file him under, put him in the, what is the A? No, it's the DSAF file. Yeah, put him in the DSAF file. Did society a favor. And that file's got to be freaking huge by the end of this movie. Because, really, they're just all over the place looking for love. Because he finds his, long lost estranged true love, the Chihuahua looking lady, and who's also the prosecuting attorney in the murder trial that he's defending Mr. Robinette in from the original Law and Order.
The first three seasons.
Yeah, back in the day when he was young, he's not a kid anymore.
With Polly.
Well, Polly was in season two. Right?
And Jerry.
And Jerry was in season three. And George DeZadandaga was in season one.
Yep.
But what about the corrupt cops in this? We got we got Richie from Sopranos. Richie Aprile, yeah.
Aprile.
We got Richie Aprile as the evidence locker cop with the constant stogies. Just can't help but break keys inside of locks.
And he's a key breaker.
He's a key breaker for sure. And then we got Mullet Guy.
He's from the Saturn commercials. Do you remember that?
What?
He used to come across, they used to portray him like he was an average Saturn factory worker, not an actor.
Oh. And, really? The guy that plays the
like
Mullet
in the,
Cop?
Like
in
the mid-late 90s, he was like in all the Saturn commercials.
Oh, that's... Okay, I can see that.
It was great. The mullet was gone.
The mullet was gone. That's too bad. Great hairstyles, great like bit acting by these characters. I mean, you got Nikki just doing his thing, being like, lady comes in, dumb white girl comes in, she's like, I need more drugs, but I don't have any more money. And he's like, well, for most that's a problem, but you, I have other ways you can pay. So she pays in other ways. And I
for
mean,
most, the only way is to pay.
Mm-hmm, but not for her. And
but for you, maybe there's another.
Yeah, exactly. I don't really even know what else to say, but it's just like it blows you
the
away.
The dialogue
is fantastic. When they talk about Big Leroy.
And they
do the commentary about, I mean, this is when AIDS is first really coming into its own and getting popular. So they talk about
and
how
Koch was trying to.
They have to give you a condom. They don't have to try to...
And counseling on safe sex.
They don't have to try to prevent you from being raped in jail, even though it's like an open jail cell. Like, there's a cop right there all the time. I don't know why someone would get raped in that jail cell. But I guess it could happen. The cop could go to take a squirt and then be gone for a bit. Maybe go down to the diner and get a cup of free Joe, and then by the time he got
there, talk with Charlene.
Yeah, Big Leroy would have done his business, and you just hope that he does it safe. Yeah, I mean, this movie it's kind of a sleeper. It's just kind of most people probably don't know about it. Maybe for good reason. I mean, it's not great, but it's fantastic. It's only 92 minutes long too. It's like in the 80s, it's nice and to the point. It does feel like it kind of drags in some places. Like you said, it's the kind of thing where you can kind of chat.
Generally,
you can kind of chat with your friends while you're watching it. Like,
oh, absolutely. Generally, it doesn't take itself very seriously.
No, but the thing is, it does in some places, or at least like the issues it's talking about are like legitimate, serious issues about like, you know, the sociology that's
like
going
Saved
on.
By the Bell.
Like. Exactly.
When they're
like,
talking about toxic waste.
When they talked about crack and they talked about, well, they're talking about, you know, the ghetto blasters and all that. And it's just like...
The rap music.
And the rap music. And really, goddamn, New York really was... Ugh. Talk about a cesspool in the 80s. Criminy on a cracker. I think my parents actually went to New York in 1988.
Good times.
I guess.
They go to Times Square?
I think they might have. I mean, they were like on Broadway and stuff. They went to see a show. They were at the Waldorf Astoria. They were looking for love. But, you know, that's the way that it goes when you're Dalton.
Did they just let you and Seth out to forage?
No, we had the hot babysitter
next door. Oh, the next door Catholic neighbor. School girl?
No, it was later.
That was later.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, Christ, I don't even know what else to say. It's kind of like you could just spoil all the awesome action sequences, and I kind of don't feel like I spoiled them by just kind of describing what happened in them real quickly. I mean, that's technically a spoiler, but...
You can talk about the one at the end.
But you have to see them. Oh, yeah, the one at the end. I'm not even going to say anything about the one at the end. It's like, really? But no way, man. For real. That's right. You know why? Because Marx is new to this planet.
That's right.
And so he got no clue about what is and isn't feasible. I have a serious sense... Oh man, the Gun Digest for 1988 is on the ground right now. We're looking at it.
That's pretty trippy.
It's very trippy.
I want to look up that 45 Magnum.
Oh boy. You'd be looking for love in your Gun Digest, huh? And Sam Elliott had a different kind of 45, right?
Yeah, it looked like he had like an AMT hardballer or something. Some crazy like
that. He was playing hardball, that's for damn sure. Using grenades to blow open doors and among other things. And
the taser.
And then he goes and he finds Mick's friend at the at Coney Island after he's been
the
fishing.
The dude with the fro.
Yeah, and gives that guy 1-4. No, it's fuck you, asshole. Definitely.
The movie and then the crane. I mean, there's just so much crazy shit.
I know. It's like, you should just... I recommend this movie. I have to give this movie... As a grade, I'll give this movie a B. But I mean, it's like, I with a caveat that says, you probably should watch this movie on some Friday night with a couple of friends and some pizza and some beer or something, and you'll have a good time. First, go out to the bars looking for love. Of course, you gotta go looking for love. Then, when you get home, and you failed that task...
Well, what if you go to the titty bar?
You and some of your friends, well, yeah, sure. You know, but love gotta pay. And then,
you always have to pay.
Yeah, you know, bring home like a crappy Domino's pizza, because that's probably all you can afford after the titty bar. And just eat it up while you watch Peter Weller and Sam Elliott take care of business and shake down the whole system. But yes, shake down, a product of its time, truly a fantastic film. I should check to see if that guy ever directed or written it, wrote anything after that. But they definitely, I mean, like, he had, like, some, I don't know what he had, because, like, there's nothing particularly interesting about the shots, but they got some good locations, and they were shooting in New York.
It
must have been a pretty pricey movie to pull off.
There are some things.
Definitely, I mean, I'm thinking maybe it was Mafia funded is the thing.
That guy, the reputable businessman.
The mobile dealer, yeah.
Yeah, the dealer. Who was... I think he was in Goodfellas.
I think so, at least. Okay, check out Shakedown. It's a good one. And don't forget to check us on iTunes, Futile Podcast. You can send us emails, futilepodcast@gmail.com. Keep on keeping it. Hold on to the night. Hold on to the memories. I wish that I could give you something more, that I could be yours. How
you're just constantly eating. These guys both look like Jabba the Hutt. It's like, no, only one of us looks like Jabba the Hutt.